Red Bull have rounded out a bittersweet weekend to take the Constructors' Championship three races early. They cannot be beaten. Neither, apparently, can their driver, Max Verstappen. We leave Austin wondering how long his winning streak will last and whether he can, how much he can add on to the 13 race wins in a season that he has currently accrued. Welcome back to the Grid Talk podcast, where this is episode 240. We are here to discuss the United States Grand Prix. My name is Owain Medford, and joining me today we have Jamie Cooper from Everything F1.
I made a mistake there, sorry. Hello, how's it going?
It's going good. We have then F1 expert Alex Booth.
Hello, nice to be back. I haven't been here for a while.
Yep, and Jonah Gould from the Soft Tire Podcast.
Hi everyone, welcome to my side of the pond.
But first, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love if you could take five to leave us a five-star rating on Spotify or a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you do, you'll automatically go into our monthly draw to win a Grid Talk t-shirt from our champion range of merch. If you're one of the 72% of people who aren't yet subscribed to this channel, where have you been? Please consider helping us out with a like and subscribe. So yeah, that is 13 wins for Max Verstappen, Alex. And he's been unstoppable this year, to be honest, and this weekend in particular. But he's not had it all his own way. Do you see that sort of trend continuing after a sort of kind of dominant performance, given the circumstances in COTA?
I certainly do for the remaining three races. Although I would expect in Mexico that I think Sergio Perez will probably take victory there if he's in the running for it, because he'd very much like to win his home Grand Prix. But yeah, for the remaining three races, I cannot see Red Bull's winning streak coming to an end. They're just in a different league at the moment compared to everyone else. Ferrari seem to hack it on a Saturday, but they just can't translate it into the race. I know Sainz was punted off in the first corner, but I don't really think he would have made much of a difference to the outcome of the race. To be honest, I still think it had Max Verstappen written all over it. It looked like it wasn't going to go there when they had that shambolic pit stop. But the pace of that car and the way he's driving at the moment, it was never really in doubt, was it?
Yeah, exactly. You would have said with a tyre advantage in terms of longevity, Lewis Hamilton, who finished in second, Jamie would have been able to help defend off the now two-time world champion. But it just wasn't to be, was it?
No. As soon as Verstappen got into that DRS with a long straight, it was pretty much writing on the wall, unfortunately. It gave a valiant effort. Who would have thought we would have had that Mercedes leading the race when we looked back at the start of the season and how bad it was?
Yeah, and it's happening more and more often. It's getting to the point where they almost need just, probably ironically enough, a couple more races. Just to get right on top of that car, and they might be able to extract a win from it. I'm sure they'll be able to do that next year with that larger number of races. Behind, we have someone who had rounding out the podium. We have someone who really did, to be honest, the best with what he could do, Jonah. Best with what he'd be given, sorry. Charles Leclerc, starting at 12th on the grid after a grid penalty, finishing in third. That is got to be the best they could have hoped for, and it's remarkable that Ferrari didn't mess it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is the best they could have hoped for. We've seen Charles has never finished on the podium when he's started any lower than seventh, but today was just an absolute fantastic effort. Ferrari actually put all the stops through properly, no issues there. Unfortunately, he had to pick up a little bit of the slack with his teammate getting knocked out, but Charles drove really well. We had some great battles between him and Max with that pit stop that was mentioned, but I think, yeah, he really got the most out of it, and Ferrari should be happy with what they got today.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's not going to mean anything. All they can get is second place, obviously, as has been mentioned, and even then, that's sort of a bit of a toss-up at this point. Rounding out the coming up in fourth, we then have Sergio Perez, who, given a sort of a race that would have been more to his strengths, I know he did have that penalty to take. Obviously, that's going to translate, hopefully, to a better performance next week. But Sergio Perez, it was kind of weird. He didn't manage to do so much. I know he had that damage, Alex, but do you think without that he might have been able to mix it up for the podium, maybe get a 1-3?
Yeah, I think he did. He could have done. I think because he had the pace towards the end. It was catching Leclerc. I think he ran out of laps. But I'm surprised that Red Bull didn't replace that front wing, especially when we had the safety car period. So I know it would have cost them time, but obviously not as much time had it been under green flag. So, yeah, I think if Perez would probably feel a bit disappointed in that, he could have been on the podium himself, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you'd weigh up the time you lost in the pit stop, and it's obviously a calculation they've made, but it's maybe not worked out the best way it could have done. Now, Jamie, we've got George Russell, in fifth place. He obviously had a incident with Carlos Sainz at the start, bit contentious over to whose fault that was, but also a bit contentious is the level of penalty he got. Bearing in mind that he's managed to still finish in fifth place, which is not bad where considering where he started. Has this been a good race outside of that sort of penalty, or do you think he's kind of got off scot-free there?
Well, you could argue he has. Carlos Sainz didn't finish two laps because of it, and he finished fifth. I think if that incident happened at any other time in the race, he would probably have got a slightly stiffer penalty. I think luck came in his way because it was the first corner, first lap. They're always going to be a wee bit lenient, and obviously sometimes incidents force their hand, and that did. I mean, it was his fault. He came up too fast on the inside and didn't give him space. And no, George, regardless of what you think, he said in what you saw, he didn't cut in front of you. You hit him. I think five is probably fair because of that. But I don't think Ferrari Garage is going to agree with that assessment, to be honest.
Yeah, apparently that might not. George Russell's radio message might not translate very well into Italian.
No.
Yeah. Then in sixth place, we have Lando Norris, who, you know, he's finished where he started, which it'd be easy to write that off as a pretty average race, Jonah. But by comparison, you know, if you'd actually watched the thing, you'd be wondering where he got the speed from.
Yeah, you know, if they're watching the race, they'd know that we're seeing shades of Scenario 7 Lando from a couple of years ago. Super late on the brakes, really aggressive. It's the racing that we really like to see. And honestly, the racing that I didn't know that McLaren car was capable of. It was really impressive to watch him kind of cut through really, really late on the brakes, you know, braking later than anyone else, making all those moves in places I didn't think he would either, making that car look a lot better than it is. So I think P6, even though he started there after a few grid penalties got handed out, I think P6 is something to be really proud of for him. It was a great result overall after everything he went through.
Absolutely. Stealing sort of the plaudits for late braking from Daniel Ricciardo even. Seventh place, Fernando Alonso. He had a bit of a time filled with tribulations, really. We were wondering how he not managed to make it over to the airport and ended up on air traffic control. The big thing, Alex, is it's tough to ask you this, but whose fault would you say it is for the kind of incident that makes his seventh place finish remarkable?
Well, it certainly was remarkable. It was a scary incident, wasn't it? As soon as that car was flagged, it was frightening. It was close to the corner of the wall. If it hit that, it would have been a totally different story and probably a potentially serious one. As to whose fault it was, that's a difficult question because I saw the onboard. Stroll does start to move left. But on the other hand, you could argue that Fernando looked a bit slow in the uptake of that and he was allowing himself to get really close to him. I thought he might have moved over a little bit further or gone to the outside. Yeah, it's a difficult one, although I'm sure Stroll must have seen him coming. So I think it's probably 60-40 Stroll's fault for me. But it was a very scary incident. And how that Alpine, with the suspension on that Alpine, withstood that, I have no idea. And then he comes into the pits, gets a new front wing, and manages to finish seventh. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, I got to say, the only way I can describe it really is it's the most Fernando Alonso thing to have happened that I've seen in a long, long time, which is surprising given his career. Now, speaking of the most Fernando Alonso thing to happen, Sebastian Vettel, eighth place he has finished up in, starting from 10th. So obviously only two places, but it was like if we were seeing shades of the old Sebastian, wasn't it, Joby?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that I was cheering it on in the last lap when he was passing Magnussen. That Aston Martin looked amazing. And I don't think there's any Formula One fan that wasn't emotional watching that 16.8 second pit stop when he was up there and could have been fighting for a wee podium. That was a shame. It's a shame he couldn't have replicated that during his Ferrari time. But it's nice to see when he's going into his last three races of his career. You know, it was definitely good stuff. Probably one of the it's the rare race, but you've got three or four contenders for driver of the day, and they all deserve it. And Sebastian's one of them. So.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to make our jobs a little bit difficult later. Now we move down the order to number ninth place. That is Kevin Magnussen, who has really put in a sort of a kind of a ridiculously good showing, wouldn't you say, Jonah? Really, you know, bearing in mind the contentious position that they are in the constructors, things are starting to come to a head here. Kevin Magnussen taking 2 points, sort of a remarkably good performance. Obviously, it came at the expense right at the death there, but really great to see from him starting 13th.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great performance from Kevin Magnussen. It's shades of the older Kevin Magnussen we saw, and I was really impressed. I mean, the other thing too to consider with that is he's in a Haas on home turf, so it's always nice to see that team do well, especially anywhere in the United States. So watching that was really entertaining, and you know, it kind of came as a shock as to how he was in P8 and then P9 after that last lap battle with Sebastian, but. I think he did great, and you know, as much as I don't want to say it, I was rooting for him there for Haas on home turf.
Yeah, 100%. It's really great to see. Hopefully, this is sort of a resurgence. This is the lowest we see them, and they get back into better pastures next year. Speaking of better pastures next year, actually, I don't know where I was going with that. Yuki Tsunoda, Alex, 10th place, started 19th. It's kind of astounding, really. We're given how slow the AlphaTauri seemed to be this weekend.
Yes, it was a solid performance from Yuki Tsunoda, because I've been one of his major critics, really. Anyone who's spoken to me over the period of his Formula One career, but no, he drove a very good race. Got a point, and much needed for AlphaTauri because they're still ninth in the championship, I think, which is bizarre considering the previous two seasons, but. But yeah, it was good from Tsunoda. I'm just going to go back to your previous question, though, when you asked me about Stroll. And also, I'm going to change my mind completely and just say that, yeah, I've got to play the blame on Stroll because I'll just watch it again.
Yeah. I'm glad that's interesting that you've done that. That's completely thrown me off. But yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? It's, you know, you can say, well, the car behind has to pass and get round as cleanly as possible and not hit the other driver. But then again, if one of them's moving as the other car is going out to make his move, that's a little bit late.
It did look like a very late move, and there was no space on the outside, as I previously suggested.
Yep, no worries. Glad we've cleared that up, actually. It makes us look less stupid. And then another sort of shock result that I didn't see coming. We have Esteban Ocon, Coops, in 11th place. He's sort of flown up with Yuki Tsunoda after starting last.
Yeah, it's that Alpine and Ocon, Alonso as well, they're very solid cars, and they're doing well, and they shouldn't be close to McLaren for that fourth place spot. I'm not a fan of Ocon, or I wasn't a fan of Ocon. I don't know what it was about him. I just didn't like him. And I hate him because he's making me like him. I'm actually quite enjoying watching him now, and I'll be interested to see how he gets on with Gasly next year. But yeah, it was for the race that had so much going on, he was largely anonymous. He just came out the pits at the you know, because it was a pit lane start, stayed away from all the hassle. And I don't actually remember him doing anything wrong. He just slowly got up the field, a bit like Albon, which we'll probably touch on. He just appeared in 11th, and you're like, oh, well, there he's there. So yeah, a very typical Ocon drive, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a great point you make. I have often said that I don't know how Esteban Ocon got to the position he's in, but there he is. Arguably, it's kind of nice to be boring in those ways. Yeah. Similarly, Alexander Albon, who, as you touched on, in 12th place, which I didn't really, I literally didn't see it, Jonah. Can you shed some light on how he's managed to do that?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, but I think he started 8th. So he's actually dropped a fair amount of positions. But then again, being the realistic Formula One fan that I am, I can't really blame the guy. He's in a Williams. That car is the slowest by a landslide. So I think anything higher than, you know, P15 or P16 is an impressive drive in a Williams car. Now, obviously, Alex Albon, he's really showing that Williams has more potential when he's behind the wheel of it. It's hard to make the comparison with your teammate in this sense. Even as a Canadian, I can admit that. I think, you know, Albon, he's showing some promise in that car. It's just really not enough machinery to get him where I know he can be. We saw him do it in the Red Bull a few times, but unfortunately he just doesn't have the machinery under him.
Yeah, of course. It's one of those things that's been, we've said it for years, but at least he's not painting the barriers by proxy with that Williams. After that, we have Zhou Guan Yu, who I kind of don't know where. Well, I mean, it's a fairly good performance, isn't it, from him, Alex? Sorry, but still, sort of, you know, the best they could have hoped for, given the issues with Bottas.
Yeah, he did reasonably well in qualifying. You know, the race pace just sadly wasn't there, and I think he might have been a bit flustered by getting a warning for track limits. That might have slowed him down a little bit. But so yeah, they just missed out on points. So, and they had, and with Bottas not scoring for a long time, yeah, they need to regain the form they had in the early season. Need to pick up some more points.
Yeah, 100%. It's a big issue right where they are in the table, and it's one of those things that's may well end up costing them. Right, then we have Pierre Gasly, who, as much as he's only dropped 3 places, it was kind of a shocking race, wasn't it, Coops, for him?
Oh, it was an absolute cluster. Dropped 10 car lengths behind you on the safety car, came in to do his 5 seconds, penalty, then didn't do that right, and then had to... I don't know if it was resolved. Did he have to come back in? I can't remember that much.
I believe you do have to come back in. So luckily they did manage to count to 5 the second time.
I don't know how you get that wrong. There's someone standing with a stopwatch, and when it changes from 4 to 5, you go and do your work. It's not hard. Maybe they need to speak to a vampire from Sesame Street to help them out. I don't know. But yeah, it was. It's a shame, but it epitomizes the AlphaTauri season. They've been so lackluster. Their cars, it's just not a good car. And he's struggling with it. Qualifying, Gasly was really critical of the team, which, you know, it's quite interesting to find that he's got a contract for another team that's not Red Bull, and then he's that critical. I don't think that's got anything to do with it at all. But yeah, not a race that Gasly or AlphaTauri really want to remember, to be honest.
No. You know it's bad when you're struggling to warm up tyres at COTA, for example. it's just been a bad race for him. Someone who it wasn't a bad race for, and it was actually showing kind of some promise, for me at least, was Mick Schumacher, Jonah. 15th place, which is, I've got to say, kind of impressive. Shades of his dad there.
Oh man, I was gonna say, you know, it's tough to say, oh yeah, that's an impressive performance from a Schumacher when it's P15. But you know, he was showing some pretty good strides there in mid race. You know, competing in the points, dealing with that 4-car scrum when Magnussen had kind of pulled away a little bit. But It was okay. I obviously wouldn't say it was his best Grand Prix, but you know, any Grand Prix where Mick keeps it, you know, decently far away from the walls, I like to consider a good one. I'm really rooting for the guy. I really want to see him do well. He's a young kid and I'm sure he's got a lot of promise, you know. I mean, how can you not when you come from a family like that? But it's just, it's a little bit underwhelming in my opinion, especially seeing how high Kevin placed the car. But then again, Kevin's got a lot more experience under his belt. I think if Mick gets those laps and gets those hours, we can see the same. It's just a matter of if he's going to get that or not.
Yeah, 100%. You know, with the, not to pour water on the Barbie there, but there is a certain amount of yeah. But he's not exactly outperforming the car, and his teammate is doing significantly better. Mm-hmm. Speaking of doing significantly better, when you've got a teammate, is Daniel Ricciardo, Alex, the lowest position of someone who didn't spin.
Just about sums up Ricciardo's season. I was going to say tenure at McLaren, but of course he did get that victory last year, so that kind of pours a little bit of solace onto it. But yeah, it was a poor race from Ricciardo, and I think he's just counting down to the end of the season to get rid of that car, to be honest.
Yeah, it's counting down to retirement, I would say, at least for a year. Will he come back? That's the real question. Will he, I don't know, be passing his resume down people who do other forms of motorsport? That's another question.
Apparently he's hinted he's got a reserve drive for Sunday. They think Sky think it's Red Bull.
Yeah,
they don't have they don't have a reserve driver.
I would say there's a bit of ignominy there from going from Red Bull or going away from Red Bull so that you're not the second driver to going back to Red Bull where you're definitely the third driver.
How the tables have turned.
Yeah, I personally I think Günther Steiner came out and said they would definitely be interested in Ricciardo. He knows where we are, you know, and does Ricciardo seem to think that he's still the driver that can get a top seat? Because he's not, and it's better to be on the grid in a Haas than not on the grid at all. So I think the ego might have caused a bit of an issue, but you know, it's not like he's not going to have enough money to keep himself busy. So, you know, if he feels being a reserve driver in a Red Bull is better than being on a grid in a Haas, then, you know, that could also be the same kind of decision making for leaving Renault to go to the McLaren.
It must be nice. I mean, he's being paid out of his contract if he can't find another seat, I believe. So, you know, I guess he'll be keeping his McLaren race car, McLaren road car that he almost certainly has warm. Someone who is just keeping a seat warm, let's be honest, is Nicholas Latifi. Who wants him?
Oh, go on then.
I was going to say clearly no one in the F1 community, but unfortunately we do have to talk about him. I think he was, yeah, no.
No, he's last.
Yeah, last.
Just it took 2/3 of the race for Ricciardo to pass him. Shows you how much Ricciardo was pushing. And he was largely anonymous for a long time. And then he got a penalty for pushing somebody off the track. You're like, oh, there he is. There he is. You're lucky it was Kota because there isn't a wall right next to the car. And then he came last. So, yeah.
Yeah, it seems Lavazza money can't save you. From poor talent. We've been saying this all season. Actually, I think we've been saying it for about 3 seasons now.
I've got a theory. I thought he was a better driver than he was, but he was just shadowed behind George Russell. Because George Russell is just one of those people that come in and he's just once in a generation, fling him in a crap car and he's brilliant and you're like, wow. And I thought, okay, it'll be good. I think something got into his head with the Abu Dhabi fallout, because him and his partner got a lot of hassle and got a lot of threats and a lot of stuff online. And he'll say it's not affecting him.
But I don't know how it can't affect you.
But it was terrible. I think, you know, Lewis Hamilton came off social media for a long time. He came out and said he had to do it. You know, I think he kind of lost the fire for Formula One, but didn't want to admit it because of that. I think there's more to it than just him not being particularly good. But, you know, he's given it a shot. He's got himself some points. He's now moved up to 20th in a 20 driver championship. Good on him. You know, power to the Latifi. You know, and he'll go away and do whatever he wants to do next year. I'm sure he's got talent. You know, it could just be that Formula One's just not his. You know, he might be a good sports car driver, might do well in Le Mans. He might, there might be some form of driving that he's decent at. It just didn't seem to click for him.
I think he'll end up in IndyCar next year.
And then he'll win the Indy 500 and we'll be like, what?
Marcus Sorry, Ericsson what? As well.
What now? Okay.
I mean, let's carry on.
I just think he's just not adapted to the 2022 cars. I think last season he was doing okay. Obviously, the Abu Dhabi scenario will have affected him. But I think this season, it's especially due to the fact that the cars have changed. I just don't think he's adapted to it as well as other drivers have.
I think I think you can put Ricciardo in that as well. It's just not. It happens to drivers over the years. Drivers fall into the new regulations, and then sometimes Formula One just goes away from them, if you see, in that sort of way. So I think, you know, as you've said, Latifi's probably been a victim of that. I think Ricciardo as well, because the way the car has to be set up, he's not able to give the confidence in the braking for Ricciardo. So took away his kind of ammunition that he usually has. So, it happens and it'll always happen. They'll change the regulations again and somebody won't adapt and that'll be that.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot to be said for all of the points that you guys have made there. We move now into the non-finishers. We have Lance Stroll. Obviously, we've heard Alex's opinion on it. Jonah, where do you think... who would you sort of put the blame on for that accident? Because there was a point where we were thinking, you know what, Lance Stroll is doing, and Sebastian Vettel before the awful pit stop, was doing a great job of actually keeping up the points in that team.
Yeah, honestly, it's a pretty it's pretty cut and dry for me. It's definitely definitely Stroll's fault. Sorry, force of habit. No, it's definitely Stroll's fault. I mean, that's way too late of a move to make. Especially when you're doing 270 kilometers an hour, it's just a dangerous move. And I mean, we saw the consequences of that. I'm blown away that Fernando kept going. I absolutely blown away that it's like when he limped the McLaren back to the pits in Azerbaijan on like one tire. Absolutely blown away that he kept going. But, yeah, for me, it's pretty cut and dry. I gotta place the blame on my fellow countrymen. That is absolutely Stroll's fault. Way too late of a move and a very dangerous one at that.
Yeah, 100%. Jamie, do you have anything to say for that one? Oh, no. Oh, okay, sorry. I was gonna say, do you have anything to say for that one with the Stroll incident?
No, sorry, I didn't hear it was me you were talking to. My apologies.
That's all right. No worries. It's my fault. I should have spoken up.
Yeah. It was. There was somebody tweeted on Twitter. I found at the end of the race that it was 100% Alonso's fault. And I'm like, as you could probably gather, Twitter didn't quite come down with on their side of the opinion. No, he's right. He moved over far too late, and it was very much like, as Martin Brundle said, that could have been an airplane accident, as he likes to say every so often. It was bad enough just looking at it, and you know, if you're going to make a mistake like that, you're glad that your dad owns the team. That's all I should say.
Yeah, I think perfectly put. Valtteri Bottas, does anyone actually know what he retired from? Because I don't remember.
He beached it.
Oh, of course he did. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, that is a failing on my part to not remember the only thing that kicked this race back off. Did he lose it? Was it?
Yeah, he lost the back end. Coming around. It was the same place as... was it Gio? Was it the same bit where Gio Vinazzi went off in practice? Or was that a bit later?
That was where Latifi went off.
Is that where Latifi spun?
Yeah, that's where Latifi spun. Bottas lost the rear at turn 19 and bent it in the gravel trap.
Is that like the only gravel trap in that whole track?
One of them, yeah.
He found it. Oh, there's something to be said for, but oh, that's funny that. No, I'm assuming it was wind that caught him out. I think that's where the wind was coming from. I was about to say we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but then again, it's Bottas. Like, should know better.
You can't. There's 20 drivers there, and he's the only one at Bindle like that. It could have just been a freak bit of wind or whatever, but, you know, the AlphaTauri's, since everybody at AlphaTauri, Alfa Romeo, since they've all kind of, everybody else has caught up and surpassed them, and they've been left behind ever since then. Yeah, they've kind of just languished and been largely anonymous for pretty much the second half of the season. If my memory serves me right, Bottas hasn't had any points. It's like Canada.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
We, races now without a point.
Yeah.
He's going to reach the number of races without points that Max has won in the season.
Oh, nice. That's...
I think he might, because he's at 9 now. And there's, what, 3 left?
Yeah, if he doesn't get any points in the next 3, then yeah, it'll be 12. It'll be 12 he'll get, just under.
Yeah, well, assuming Max doesn't win anymore, which I think is highly unlikely. But still, that's when you're approaching that, that's bad, even as a backmarker team. And lastly, unfortunately, there's not a lot we can say about Carlos Sainz, because he did about 700 metres.
Yes.
Clearly, I think that was George's fault, to be honest. But then again, I was about to put a bit of blame on science there, but he could have turned out of that. It would, like, save yourself. Go off at T1. Do a Rosberg.
He was reacting to what was in front of him, though, because Max came out the inside, so he had to react to that and didn't know that Russell was giving it the kamikaze down the inside. So it was all... You wouldn't have expected the Russell to be there. Sorry, I've got a kitten that keeps messing around with my headphones, so that's why I'm looking on. you can't blame Sainz. He's not going to expect that Mercedes to be down the inside. If you look at, Martin Brundle says that if he doesn't get any luck, he gets none, or some words to that effect. It just always happens to him. He's in pole position, his teammates way down the order, and he's out before the end of the first lap. Just, what can you say?
It never quite works out. Though I guess it does save the whole awkward conversation that Ferrari would have to have about who was actually number two and number one, and, you know, they'd actually have to pick. No, that rounds out our order for today. We've had to whiz through that a little bit. It is quite late. I'll stay with you, Coops. Who is your driver of the day today?
Fernando Alonso.
Fair enough.
He's driving brilliantly anyway. That car should have been in about 1500 bits, because it hit the back of another car, then hit a wall. I mean, it didn't avoid the wall, it hit the wall, and it was quite a substantial hit. And the only problem was a broken front wing, and then he drags it way back up into the points. As you said earlier, it's the most Fernando Alonso thing we've seen. It's probably, as Jonas says, since Baku, way back in his McLaren days. And then just before we started, there's a picture of his onboard camera. And he's just sitting on the front wheel of his car, just slumped over. You know, just like he left everything on that track. That man just reminds everybody that he should be more than just a 2-time world champion.
Yeah, exactly. Probably should have won the Indy 500. Probably should have got another 3 world titles.
Well, another
one.
Yeah, if you're the guy who runs the team in Indy. Actually remember to order your steering wheel on time, you know, that could have been a good help, you know.
Oh, yeah. or just pay someone else to do it and don't have Honda as your engine supplier. You know, classic. It's also classic Fernando Alonso to go to be dominant in another sport for a little bit and then, you know, be burdened by the same problems you have at your original team that you're taking a hiatus from. Jonah, who is your driver of the day?
You know what? I'm going to be a little bit different. I'm going to say Sebastian Vettel. Now, is it probably Fernando Alonso? Yeah. But you know what? Sebastian Vettel, to have that Aston Martin so high up, and the only reason, in my opinion, he's that far off a podium is that pit stop. But you know, we saw shades of Red Bull Vettel. We saw shades of 2018 Ferrari Vettel at the end of the race there, and leading his 35th 100 lap in Formula One. I got to give it to the 4-time world champion Sebastian Vettel.
Absolutely. I hope I never forget Sebastian Vettel hustling the car around turn 18, I believe it is. That one I hope it lives long in my memory. And Alex, who is your driver of the day?
Well, I was going to go with Sebastian Vettel as well, for all the reasons that Jonah just said. I mean, he drove a fantastic race. If it wasn't for that bad pit stop, he could have potentially been P5. I'm going to give an honourable mention as well to Kevin Magnussen. He did a good job with just a one pit stop strategy. And I just also so I could say someone different.
Yeah, fair enough. Which would be great, because that means I get to say it's Lando Norris. That's my driver of the day. I was spellbound by some of those overtakes. I know some of them were into favourable player places, either at the end of the long straight or end of the main straight. But either way, it's difficult to get an overtake like that done, and he managed to do it, I think, on four separate occasions, which is kind of ridiculous, if you ask me. But yeah, that rounds out our show today. I would ask, where can we find you, Alex? Where can we find anything you might write or say?
Probably nowhere at all. I'm quite taking a bit of a break from doing things like that, but I like to make the odd appearance on here now and again, so I'll continue with that.
That is absolutely fair enough. I can sympathise. it's a long old slog this season. And Coops, where can we find you?
I am on Everything F1. I do a podcast there. You find us at JoinEF1 on Twitter and all your other socials. If you want to chat to me personally, God knows why. I'm a bit more active on Twitter at Coops_EF1.
Awesome. And Jonah, where can we find you?
Well, the gents and I aren't doing the podcast as much anymore because of school, but you can find us at the Soft Tire Podcast on Instagram and at the Soft Tire on Twitter. We also do a few episodes occasionally live on Twitch. So if you want to go hop on over there, that's Jonah_Jonah F1 on Twitch. We do a lot on there.
Awesome. Excellent. And if you want to hear anything more from me, just make sure you come back for the Grid Talk podcast. That's where I'll be. Writing is hard. And when it comes to articles. So if you do want to do that, just remember that Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most episodes are, including this one, are recorded live, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, Omni Studio, and Pocket Cast. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows with previews and reactions to qualifying and the race results. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment for our presenters. And you can get your hands on some official Grid Talk merchandise on www.f1chronicle.com/store. Make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when each new weekly episode is released. We will be back soon with plenty of more F1 content. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.